Welcome back to the Compound Growth Marketing Show. We have Quincy Johnson and myself, John Short, here today to talk about marketing assets and liabilities, which I think is an interesting topic. I don't want to say we're late to the game, because I still think it's a thought process that companies should go through as they're examining the marketing that they're doing. But I would say that companies who had prepared for this over the last 12 months ago were in better shape as the budget started to get cut. Because when I look at marketing assets versus liabilities, I think about it similar to how you would think about personal finance, where it's like, you know, you have things you invest in, like your audience. Like Quincy and I have invested a fair amount in building our audience on LinkedIn. SEO is another channel that compounds. The newsletter is something that no one can take away from you. Like, we just have not seen that much movement away from email. And the more emails you can collect and keep engaged, et cetera, the more powerful your newsletter is going to be. Versus some of the liabilities, which are things that you're renting, which would be paid media, which would be sponsorships, events. Those liabilities, when the budgets get cut, tend to slow down your marketing effort. So if you have a lot of marketing assets, if you have a big audience, if you have a lot of SEO traffic coming to your site, even when the budget's cut, those will continue to pay dividends for you versus the liabilities, which oftentimes get cut and paid media provides little or no value to you after that gets cut.
And I was going to say, so what is the biggest challenges that you've seen kind of in your experience with people hedging too much on the liability side and not building up the assets?
What I hate to see is companies that have grown purely based off of liabilities. They've grown purely based off of events or advertising partnerships with specific partners that could leave them at any moment, or their paid media spend. Like, I find a lot of companies get addicted to Google search ads. And the challenge that they have with that is not just that it's a liability because that budget can get cut, but also that there's no other channel quite like Google search with the payback times and the measurability of Google search. Like, even paid social, yeah, there's direct response, but a lot of the benefit comes from building awareness through paid social channels and really the positioning and the opportunities to get in front of your audience and get them to ultimately come and find you. I've seen it a couple of times in my career where there's a company that maxes out on paid media spend.
Yeah.
Haven't invested in SEO. They haven't invested in audience. And they've hit the ceiling of what they can do, because either competition has entered the market, which has driven prices up, or they have just found out, or they have just maxed out on the total search volume that they can hit. And then they go into this kind of playbook of trying to replicate Google ads across other channels. So they want another immediate quick response, easily measurable channels, and there just isn't that much like that, and nothing comparable in terms of the amount of volume that you can get in paid media. So that is, or in Google search. So that's the challenge that I see with some of the companies that I've seen just over the past 5 years of doing this, but really throughout my entire career.
Yeah. And I think it sounds like it's easier, right? Like, so I'm going to put this in a weightlifting like thing, because I think fitness and analogies. So I'm I'm said wannabe bodybuilder, right? Like, it's easier for me to go out and like find steroids and like juice up real quick and like make gains over like a month or two, rather than saying, oh, I'm going to devote like a year to creating, like putting it back in marketing terms, to creating a process, content, strategies, and things like that. And making it compound over time, right? Or to build that muscle, like to follow a workout plan. It's easier for me to just juice, lift heavy for like a month, rather than following a workout plan, do nutrition, do all the things, all the different components to build up the system.
Yeah. The number of companies that regret investing in content, so audience building or SEO, after 12 months is very small. The number that quit before they get to 6 months of investing in that is really large. And I feel like the 6 to 12 months time period, you see a lot of gains in that. Mm-hmm. period. But it takes a while to build this stuff. Yeah. But if you think about it, like if you look at some of the companies that have been fantastic that have grown over the last couple of years, they've had a similar growth trajectory, right? Like the things that take time to build up momentum, no matter what they are, whether it's a truck or a really great company or a really strong strategy, they take time in order to really start to pay dividends, but they're really tough to stop once you've built that up. So I'm thinking about like Atlassian, which didn't follow the typical VC-backed growth path. It took them, I think, 10 to 15 years to go public. And they just had a slower growth, but now that company is unstoppable. Reddit as well. There have been a lot of social networks that have risen to much higher levels than Reddit and fallen to much lower levels than Reddit over the time period. And they've just had this really steady, steady, strong growth. And I think that like marketing momentum that you want to build up through building up your marketing assets, building up your database, building up your content is going to pay dividends long term. And I just wish we all marketers could figure out a better way to kind of explain this to upper management, because it's such a challenge, but the payoffs are just so big for the companies that do it.
Yeah, and I think that for me, I feel like marketers have like a, not necessarily marketers, I think marketers have a better understanding for the most part. But I think executives have kind of like a weak stomach when it comes to consistency. And like when it comes to like, if something like doesn't go right, or we have a bit of a hiccup, like it's like freak out, let's change strategy because something fell off, instead of like analyzing what happened, kind of adjusting and understanding what's going on and figuring out, is this hiccup long-term or is it just a place that we need to pivot a little bit, but then maintain consistency?
Yeah, 100%. So I agree. I think it can just be difficult to get that buy-in. What other assets do you think exist in the marketing world outside of newsletters, social audiences, SEO? Where else do you think this exists?
So obviously, like, we're big on my side. Like, I'm in data. Like, all the data that we collect, first party data, is like huge.
Yeah.
Huge asset for marketers. I think the other thing, to be completely honest with you, it's the intellectual property within your team, right? Like, as far as like understanding from a sales perspective, understanding your customer, like that insight, and like from the marketing team as well, like all the experimentation that happens that you've done over time, the lessons learned. So I would say the IP is like a huge asset for like marketings and organizations in general.
Yeah. Yeah. That like understanding of the customer, is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
Understanding of the customer and thinking about the brand, understanding the things that hit. Yeah. I think partner is another
all
that company. Like, I the past 2 months, I've started to hear more and more about partner, from, or it's come up on just about every call that I've been on with people in marketing. And I think it's a really exciting channel. And you certainly, that is an asset that you build up over time, where you build relationships with partners, and it's going to take them longer to leave you, right? There's not a lot of churn within the HubSpot partner program once they get a partner to stay with them for a year. I would guess it becomes a pretty steady source of income for them. So I think that's that would be the other channel that I think is, it can be really valuable for companies.
So what do you think? Yeah. So what do you think then about, cause you talked about partners and this just sparked something else, like, because I think a huge part of HubSpot and like why people continue to be partners is like definitely UX and ease of use, but part of it is their enablement. Like they're really big about like, and it's probably only good for like product PLG companies, et cetera, but like your enablement kind of strategy and platform and tactics to keep, to make your platform more sticky, I think is another example of an asset, because it's not necessarily like marketing material or collateral.
Right.
It's kind of like a different branch in my eyes.
Yeah. The number of companies who've tried to copy what they do with like a better UI, but not really understanding the actual user flows within the product is pretty large, right? And we see this also with companies that are trying to adopt the product-led growth strategy, and they have a competitor in the industry who's doing really well, growing really fast. They think, oh, if we can adopt PLG,
it's
going to be, we're going to be just as successful as them. But there's so much optimization and data, like you talked about before, that they have a competitive advantage on, and proprietary information on understanding what's actually successful in terms of onboarding customers, getting them to convert, and how do you build a predictable pipeline?
Yeah. And then so outside of HubSpot and Atlassian, like who are you seeing kind of doing really well with leveraging their assets?
It's a good question. I can't think of any right now.
Yeah. Cut
that part out. let's see. I'm trying to think.
I would say, honestly, like freaking, let's just shout out Dave Gearhart. Like just because like he's not a company. Well, he is a company now, but like how it started as a community. And I think that he's done a really fantastic job at like building to this thing, right? Staying consistent with his assets. I don't even know if he's done any paid media. Everything I've ever seen from him is organic and word of mouth. So I would say that that's one pretty good example.
He's been a bit ahead of the curve on the community piece. Zoom Info would be another one where I think they do a pretty good job of audience building. They have a lot of different things going at any given time. They have a really strong partner program. So I would say they're another company. Sixth Sense has built up a good asset library and is growing really quickly. Seems like things are going really well for them over there. I think they're, I shouldn't say there's nobody else out there. There's a couple now that I start to think about it that I think are doing a really great job with building out their marketing assets and building a really strong moat while doing that.
I think friggin' Metadata.io is another honorable mention that I would call out. Like their CMO, like, the video of him like typing at a computer and then be like, hey, I'm the metadata guy. Like I've seen tons of that stuff. But just they're kind of how they develop kind of the content. Like I feel like they're definitely leveraging all of their first party data and things like that to get their ICP. So
yeah. Yeah, Predictive Index is another one that I just think has done such a great job over the last couple of years of enabling their employees to develop their audiences, and that's really paid off for them. So I love the work that they do. I'm a huge fan of them.
And then how do you think, like, because we keep having this conversation about AI, like, so how do you think that we can leverage AI to build up assets, to scale assets?
Yeah, so I think it goes back to the conversation we just had about the mother. I think that companies that are just going to ChatGPT, giving it prompts and asking it to build templated, easy to create content that anybody can go to it and ask for, is not unique. And the companies that build the mother, build the points of view that they're trying to hit on, build out content in the back end that then can be leveraged by LLMs to create content that's truly unique to them, unique to their perspective, unique to their brand. In the long term, I think those are going to be the companies that differentiate themselves.
I think if they can utilize that tool, we'll start to see a shift from the over-indexing on, like, especially all the platform changes that are happening. I mean, LinkedIn is getting pretty good, but then, like, you saw, like, a dependency on liabilities for, like, if you were heavily indexed on Facebook marketing or Facebook paid social for, like, a while ago when they, like, yanked the rug out, like, you were screwed, essentially, right?
Yeah, I think it's a huge, I mean, we've seen, I don't know where the stocks are today, but some of those e-commerce stocks were down like 90%, like Lisa Mattress and Casper, and is Casper even still around? Allbirds. They struggled when the rug got pulled out from underneath them on the paid social side of things. And we've seen that across the industry. And I even have tried to, like, kind of look at the Shopify stock price in comparison with when that change was made. And, you know, there is some correlation there between the iOS changes and what's happened in the e-commerce industry. There weren't a ton of opportunities to build up SEO. I think social is interesting for a lot of those companies, but it's a tough industry to be in. But that's a good prime example of where they invested a little bit too much in liabilities and didn't balance it out by investing in assets.
And you could see people freaking out when that happened too. So awesome. So that's all I got, man. I think this is a really good talk. We've been meaning to do this forever. So happy we actually finally talked about marketing assets.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad we finally got to talk about this. I'm really interested to hear what people say, like how people respond to this. Because in the past, when we've talked about it on LinkedIn, it's gotten some really interesting responses.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank y'all.